Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Welcome to Fitness Disrupted, a production of iHeartRadio. I am Tom Holland, and this is Fitness Disrupted. Listener mailbag number three, episode number three of my listener mailbag podcast, which is Your Questions Answered. So at the end of every podcast, I give you ways to reach out to me, whether it's through Twitter or Instagram or the website fitnessdisrupted.com. And many of you have done so, reached out with great questions, great comments. And this is my way of answering many of them. So sometimes I will answer through the way you reach out to me, but with just about all of these great questions, I want to share them because so many people have the exact same questions. So first of all, thank you for reaching out, taking the time, and asking these great, great questions. Today, I am going to go through eight, and they are awesome, from gaining muscle while staying lean to choosing shoes at a shoe store, creatine, and we're going to finish up with a question about cricket protein. Have to say, this will be my first time answering such a question about cricket protein, but this is a little different format for a show, and I love them all. And just like I talk about success in fitness and nutrition comes down to several main concepts, one being variation. Same thing with shows. We're going to have shows that are study heavy. I'm going to have shows with guests. I'm going to have shows where I just talk about a topic myself. And today, this is as if I'm at a cocktail party and you came up to me and asked me a question. So I'm going to spend a couple minutes on each one, not going deep into them, no studies, but it's just the quick answer. So you come up to me, you say, hey, Tom, I got a question about X, and I'm going to give you the quick takeaway, which most people want anyway, right? Still want to do those shows, and I'm going to do those fantastic dives into the studies because you need that. You need to hear where it comes from and what we're talking about. But occasionally, you're just like, hey, just give me an answer. I don't need to hear nine studies. I want your quick takeaway, and I'm going to be on my way. So that is the format of today's show. Just so you know, most of these topics, though, I have either talked about in different podcasts or I will go into a much deeper dive. So for those of you who are like, okay, I appreciate the quick takeaway, but I want more, you will get more. Don't worry. Different formats for different things. All right, let's take a quick break. When I come back, eight of your recent questions. Listener mailbag show number three. We'll be right back.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Mother's Day is right around the corner, and in true She Pivots fashion, we're highlighting moms who've dedicated their lives and their pivots to supporting mothers. The iconic Christy Turlington will join us to talk about launching Every Mother Counts after pivoting from her 90s supermodel days. And later, the co-CEOs of Baby to Baby will share how they're addressing the needs for millions of babies and moms. So tune in and subscribe to She Pivots. New episodes out every Wednesday. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So this is pretty much what I do at cocktail parties for people who know me and know what I do for a living. And then generally people who find out, they have questions. And gosh, at dinners, like, you know, hockey parent dinners when we're traveling and things like that, this is pretty much how I spend my night. And I love it. So this is similar to that. I'm going to spend a couple minutes on each question, starting with number one. And again, these are questions that listeners reached out to me and sent to me. And again, thank you for them. So the question was, how do you gain muscle while keeping lean, right? So basically losing fat and gaining muscle at the same time. Now, like so many other things in fitness, has to be given a name: recomposition. Now, I remember way back when the first fitness writer reached out to me for an article about this topic, gaining muscle while losing fat, and used the term recomposition. I had never heard of it at the time. It was like new. It was just like, we just did it. You just, that was, you know, bodybuilding, you know, losing weight. This was always the goal. But it made me laugh that just like everything in fitness, sometimes you gotta make it sound more complicated than it is. So quick answer, right? Or semi-quick answer. How do you gain muscle while losing body fat, losing weight? Well, you're pretty much going to do everything I talk about when it comes to having a well-rounded program. And that's why we have a well-rounded program, so you can do both things. They are not mutually exclusive. So you can lose fat and build muscle at the same time. It's actually called bodybuilding at its most extreme form. So you're going to do cardio to burn calories, to burn fat, right? To lose weight, to lose that excess weight. And then you're going to strength train to build muscle. And then what maybe most people are kind of missing is taking in adequate calories, especially protein. Protein is the building block of muscle, amino acids, protein, muscle. So you're going to do cardio. You're going to strength train. You're going to take in your protein. And if you want to add creatine to that mix, and that's a question coming up in a second, you can do that as well. I've done shows on the power of protein. Dr. Brad Schoenfeld, one of the premier masters of recomposition, if you want to use the term, muscle hypertrophy. But this is something, when I was getting in shape, that was always the goal. It wasn't to lose fat first and then gain muscle. It was to do everything at the same time. So if you just do cardio, that's a problem. If you just strength train, that's a problem. It's such a great question, an example of making things more complicated than they should be. And showing that for the people who say, I never do cardio, but I strength train. Oh, good for you. Again, your heart's a muscle. You probably want to improve the strength of that. especially because heart disease is the number one cause of death. So, cardio, strength training, and getting in adequate amounts of protein. And when it comes to the adequate amounts of protein, the rough number I give is half your body weight in grams of protein per day. That's a starting point. Bodybuilders do, at a minimum for the most part, a gram per pound. So a 200-pound bodybuilder takes in 200 grams of protein a day. Don't think that most of you out there need that. I do think and agree with Dr. Brad Schoenfeld that the recommendations that they give for protein is low, especially for those of you who are super active or active and want to build and preserve muscle, especially as we get older. But that's a great starting point for most people. If you weigh 150 pounds, I want 75 grams of protein. And the studies show you could take all 75 grams. Doesn't really matter what time of day. I say that doesn't make sense. And truthfully, I've done, they used to have, they still have them, I think, like protein shakes with 50 grams of protein in. That's too much for me. So I, this is a great discussion and an example of studies show, yeah, it doesn't matter, you know, if you take all the protein at one time or spread it out. I don't think someone truly wants to take in 200 grams of protein at one sitting. So science says one thing, real world application says, okay, if I'm going to have 150 grams of protein throughout the day, or I'm sorry, 75 grams, if you weigh 150 pounds, then spread it out. 12 grams here, 20 grams here, 30 grams there. All right. So gaining muscle while keeping lean, you got to do all of the component parts, cardio, strength training, and getting in adequate protein and calories. But let's stick to protein to keep it simple. You still want your carbohydrates, though. You need that for energy. All right. Answered and asked and answered. Number one. Number two, sauna suits. Great question. Can't believe they're still around. I personally have never used one. And you can say, well, then you can't talk about it. And I often give the answer to that. And there's several types of kind of crazy exercise that I've never done. And people have said, well, then you can't talk about it. I've never done crack, but I'm pretty sure it's not good for me. And I don't think I need to do it to make that deliberation. So similar, sauna suits. So many wrestlers, those of you out there, especially my age who wrestled, you know, you wore sauna suits. And this, the person who asked this question was about what is it for weight loss? Is it truly helping with weight loss or is it more water weight? The short answer to this, again, cocktail party answer, it's water weight. Wrestlers use it. MMA fighters use them. They sit in cars. They turn up the heater full blast. They sit there in a sauna suit and they sweat out the pounds. And this is valuable information. I'm going to go a little long on these because they lead somewhere else about how the scale can be so irrelevant when it truly comes to fat loss, right? Because here's the insane thing, and I always say we learn by extremes. MMA fighters will take 15 pounds, will go down 15 pounds. They generally have a weigh-in. I think it's 24 hours now before the fight. They will put back on 15 pounds, sometimes more, oftentimes more, in 24 hours. Super dangerous to lose the weight that way. Water weight, by the way. Dehydration. But it shows you that the scale is oftentimes showing you insane amount of water weight. That's why low-carb diets that flush your body of water at the start lead to happiness on the scale, but weight loss that isn't really truly relevant, and you'll gain it back in water weight and then most likely fat weight as well. So the short answer is I don't use sauna suits. I never have. I never have wrestled. If I wrestled, I probably, being honest, would have done it back in the day because you did. If I was a professional fighter, oftentimes you have to do things because that's your job. I'm not saying it's healthy. I'm not saying I would do it. I'm not a professional fighter. But this is the truth, right? So you are sweating. What is the mechanism? What is a sauna suit trying to do? Now, we won't go into raising core temperature and caloric expenditure. it's actually not even truly relevant to this discussion. And unless you're a professional fighter or a wrestler, and even then, it's dangerous. Back when I did natural bodybuilding, way back when, you know, there are people that had significant issues, health issues, because they were doing things like sauna suits and diuretics to lose water. Water is important in our bodies. So short answer is, don't use them. Save your money. Spend it on something else. Awesome questions. I love them. And these are all over the place, which is the best type of listener mailbag show. Question number three came to me about strengthening and unburdening. I love that. Hip flexors. So hip flexor, your iliopsoas muscle. So I'm standing right now. If you stand and you put your, I'm doing it as we speak, your fingertips right in front of your hip, right in front of your hip, and then lift your leg, you will feel that muscle. That is the iliopsoas muscle. That gets super tight in people. Why? Several things. One being sitting. You sit all day. Think about it. Makes sense. Common sense. You're sitting. That hip flexor is shortened from just being in that position. And that can lead to issues. People who say stretching does nothing, flexibility is not important. And I did the show on the performance and all of that kind of stuff, but just feeling good, our bodies need to have a normal range of motion. And when certain muscles are short, it leads to a whole host of issues, including back pain when it comes to hip flexors. So here's the quick, again, we're at a cocktail party and you say, show me a stretch. I need to, well, if you ask me, I say, I want to unburden my hip flexors. I'd say, oh, you want to loosen them. So oftentimes, again, I'm standing, you will see at a race, right? A running race, whatever, someone standing and then leaning forward on kind of trying to do it here. It's tough to do over a podcast, but, you know, trying to stretch that hip flexor with a straight leg behind them. Not the way to truly get it. The best way I will give you, or one of the best ways of several, but simple way to get started, you kneel. So kneel down. Let's say you kneel on your right knee with your left leg up bent 90 degrees, right? So you're kneeling on your right knee. Then you push your hips forward. Okay, so you want that knee affixed to the ground is the short answer, right? You don't want to try to stretch your hip flexors while standing, just not as effective as taking one knee. Think like, you know, all the controversy with, the sports, I'll leave it at that. That position, and then push your hips forward, you're going to feel that stretch in your hip flexor. So do both sides. I do that stretch all the time. And you can actually then, I'll give you another quick takeaway. Then if you're doing that hip flexor, right, you're kneeling on your right knee, left leg is up, bent 90 degrees, then stretch that left leg straight out on your heel, lean forward. Now you're stretching the left hamstring. So there is a great, quick stretch routine you can do from that position. So hip flexor straight to hamstring. And then when it comes to strengthening, what I would say is you want to strengthen all of the muscles. See, the problem is we often try to focus on one thing rather than the totality of our bodies. So oftentimes the hip flexors are tight and that's the issue. And then other muscles around it are weak. And the hip flexors, piriformis, they end up taking over too much work, doing too much work, trying to take over for the weak links, as I talk about. Just did that podcast on the exercises I use to bulletproof my lower body. And I would start there and oftentimes stay there. So they are the basic exercises that are going to fix those lower body imbalances and weaknesses so that the hip flexors don't have to do too much. So that stretch, you do, you know, once or twice a day. Generally, you want to do these stretches, static stretches, after exercise when the muscles are warm. But you can do that throughout the day as well. You're just trying to keep the normal length of your hip flexors. And the more you sit, the more you need to do that stretch. And you should try to stand whenever possible, like I am now, when I do this show. And what is not surprising is how many of the interviews, for those of you who have listened to the most recent with like Dean Karnazes and Sean Swarner, they were all standing as well doing the interviews. It helps keep those hip flexors loose and long and do have many other benefits as well. So great question. Do that kneeling, push those hips forward, stretch those hip flexors, and then do lower body strength training 2 to 3 times a week. 15 to 20 minutes is all you really need when you do it correctly. You can do more. You can even do a tiny bit less. Just be consistent. All right. Got a lot of running questions. And I love that. Yes, I'm a runner. I'm also, you know, triathlete. I do a lot of different things, which is one of the reasons I am injury free. But I get it. And I often say, you don't have to be a runner, but I want you to have the ability to do so if you can, if you want to, I should say. So there's so many people say, I can't run because I have bad knees, a bad back. I want you to fix those things. It has always driven me nuts that people go to doctors and say, you know, I can't run because this hurts or this hurts. And what do they say? Well, don't run. Well, why don't we try to figure out why they can't? You don't have to run, but I would love for you to be able to. And, you know, I don't care how old you are. Age is just a number. You know, in my book, the new book, The Micro Workout Plan, I have several stories, male and female, of people who took up running later in life, weren't runners, and had huge success. For weight loss, for other things. My point is, we were meant to run. One of the first shows I did with Dr. Daniel Lieberman. And I don't say you have to. And yes, I get it. Most people, many people say, running is not fun. I hate it. Well, I often say this because 3 miles, 2 miles, when you're just starting out and you have the extra weight, it's challenging. I get it. But I also say there's a reason why over 100,000 people try to get into the New York City Marathon every year. There's some kind of crazy payoff. I found it. And the longer you run, the farther you run, you'll find it. And there's nothing more powerful than being able to lace up your sneakers and go out and get out some stress and enjoy the outdoors and get those hormones, the feel-good hormones flowing. It's just awesome. So I want you all to be able to do it. I don't care who you are. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what your issues are right now. I want you to be able to do that. So actually, I got to skip forward. I got all enthused. All right. So this is the question. I got to give you the facts because this person gave me a little bit of background and that's helpful. Has been into fitness for as long as they can remember, off and on with running for the last 5 years or so. Okay, so sporadic running. Recently developed a real love for running since the start of COVID, progressed from 5K average a day to 12K average runs. For those of you who aren't on the kilometer system, 10K is 6 miles. So went from basically running 3 miles to over 6 miles average. Here's what I don't know. Well, let me finish. I have a goal to hit 22K before the end. This was back a little bit. And wants to do a full marathon. Reason I'm emailing, I have knee pain. Not terrible, but it's typical runner's knee. Probably because I jumped right back into running at almost 40. I heard on your podcast, I need to strengthen my quads and do stretching to help. Don't want to stop, but don't want to make it worse. The person weight trains regularly twice a week. What should they do? Should they progress? They want to do slower and shorter runs. And they give the pace they run at. Okay, great question. This is so many people. So many people. And as they say on TV, and it always drives me nuts, but I like using sometimes the terms. A lot to unpack here. I think that's the TV anchor. But it kind of goes into here. So we don't know. My first question, if I were with this person in person, was, are you running every day? And if so, no. Every other day. Especially when you're starting out. So I often read between the lines here. I've developed a real love for X, usually means I'm doing it a lot, you know? And that's why when I talk about mixing it up and how frequently people fall in love with like indoor cycling and they do it every day, it doesn't matter how healthy the mode of exercise you do. If you do it exclusively, you will have issues and then you won't be able to do it. These are like, you know, the truisms that you got to embrace if you want to continue to do what you love doing and do it injury-free. You got to mix it up. I'm not a triathlete. I'm someone who doesn't want to get injured. So I swim, bike, run, strength train. I'm not a cyclist. I'm a runner first and foremost, but I don't consider myself any one of those. I do those things. All right. So this person needs to run, yes, less frequently if they're running more frequently, and that's my guess. So every other day to build up. Does that mean you can't run every day? Absolutely not. And that is actually a question, getting ahead of myself. But I would also, so every other day, and then don't just run 6-7 miles every time. So when I used to design programs for people, and if you read my triathlon and marathon books, you know, it's periodization. So you may run 3 miles on Monday, 5 miles on Wednesday, 4 miles on Friday. And then you build and then you pull back. And so the next week you may run 4 miles on Monday, 6 miles on Wednesday, and 5 miles on Friday. And then if you throw in a fourth on Sunday, that's your long run day. And for many people, half marathons, even long distances, you can do incredibly well on 3 to 4 runs per week. Your body can tolerate more and you're built for it and your aspirations are higher. That's different. So this person says they are strength training. I want to make sure they're doing the right thing. So again, listen to the podcast I did on the exercises I use to bulletproof my lower body. They are not advanced or super hard, and you can modify them depending on your fitness level, but it's strengthening, strengthening, strengthening. So, you know, this person, I don't think they said how long they've been strength training. So you got to give that time too. But I love that they're doing it twice a week. I might bump that up to 3 times a week. So one thing you could do is run Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then strength train, although 2 is great. Tuesday, Thursday, you could add in 1 more on Saturday. And these are not hour-long leg sessions. People are under the, you know, they think that strength training for runners is like what you do for bodybuilders, or you have to go to the gym for an hour. No, do them all at home if you want. And it takes 15, 20 minutes when done correctly. So you can get there. So I want to always focus on the positive. So many of my clients had runner's knee at the start. So you pull back, you change your runs, and then, you know, different distances, vary it. Don't always do the same one. You know, 3 miles, 7 miles, 5 miles, 4 miles, you know, 3 miles, 6 miles on opposite days. And then the final thing, and I will actually end the show with a person who references this, listen to the podcast I do on hills. Hills, hills, hills. Why you should run hills. So if you're doing 3 runs a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, maybe your Wednesday run is a hill workout. You run 2 miles to a hill. You run up and down that hill 6-8 times. And that may be another mile. And then you run 2 miles home. There's your 5 mile day. But hill workouts, as I say in that podcast, are beneficial to every person, every athlete. They are so simple, so effective, and everyone should do them. So great question. And you can get there. Hope that helps. These are all a little longer than I get carried away. So where are we here? Okay, it's a great one. 50-year-old person diagnosed with high blood pressure. He's walking every day for an hour, starting his day walking for an hour, but he has a friend who said he would be better off jogging for 30 minutes. I always get kind of annoyed with these, the helpful friend. Now, he also goes on to say he's eliminated red meat, alcohol, and sugary foods. I actually replied right to this person, I remember, with a study that shows how helpful walking is for people with high blood pressure. The cliche that you need to walk before you run couldn't be more applicable here. And for those of you who have friends like this, who are, you know, trying to change their lives, just be supportive. They eliminated red meat, alcohol, and sugary foods, and they're walking an hour every day to start the day. That's awesome. End of story. Be supportive. Don't tell them, could they? I don't even want to go there. They are doing, and I replied to this person, you are doing everything you should be doing. But I thought this was so important to include in a show as well. And what does better off mean? You're going to burn more calories? You're going to hurt your knees? You're better off. You're not better off with your joints starting that way for someone who is 50 years old and is trying to deal with, are they going to burn a couple more calories? Well, it depends. Yes, running, you know, it depends. Actually, I'm just going to say it depends. So I love those vague terms. And they're oftentimes in articles. It's better off. And that's why I always ask questions. What do you mean by better off? Are they going to do it? Are they going to be in more pain? Are they going to run twice and never do it again? If this person is walking every day, starting their day, what better way to start your day? I think I did a podcast on that too. Why you should start your day with exercise. And this is a great question and example of just keep doing what you're doing. And there will always be people who will tell you to do more or that you're not doing it quite right. And this person is doing it amazingly well. So keep doing what you're doing. Gait analysis. So this is a great question. Quick question about going to a shoe store, buying running shoes. Should this person, there was a specific store that was doing gait analysis. So you have the treadmill, you know, oftentimes they'll have a camera. And is it worth it? And sometimes they charge, sometimes they don't. The real quick answer to this is, actually, let me backtrack a little bit. Well, let me give you the answer. Only if they're qualified. And many are not. And many will sound like they are, right? So two quick stories that will clarify this. So years ago, when I was first starting running in New York City, and I have this in my first marathon book, I went into Super Runner Store in New York City. And Super Runner Store was one of the most amazing stores. I'm not even sure. I think they're still around. But at the time, they hired professional runners, like runners from Kenya and people who were, you know, trying to break into the running scene, like really, really qualified runners who ran 100 plus miles a week. I remember talking to many of these guys. So they knew what they were talking about. And I went in and I had Saucony 3D Grid Hurricanes. I'll never forget. And I said, you know, I have these sneakers and I need a new pair and I want something totally different. And the guy looked down at my sneakers. He looked at me and he said, do these work for you? And I said, yeah. I said, you know, he's like, how much do you run? What are your goals? Ask me all those questions. And that's a really important part. And I said, yeah. And he said, but you want totally different sneakers. I go, yeah, I want something different. I want to try something new. He goes, that's not how this works. He said, if they work for you, you stick with them. So he didn't try to sell me a more expensive pair. He didn't try to sell me two more expensive pairs. He said exactly what I needed. And this is the type of, I'll never forget that example. And it's how I give my advice as well. I'm not here to sell you more expensive stuff or crazy stuff. I'm here to get you results. And I so appreciated that response. And it was from someone who knew what he was talking about. So if you're going to get gait analysis from someone, they need to know what they're doing. Now, let me give you the opposite end of the spectrum. I was at a different event many years later after having done a lot of racing. And there was a quote unquote foot shoe expert that this person said, you got to get this person to analyze your sneakers. They are the best of the best. So I went up to this person. Person said, Tom, walk in the other direction, 10 steps, walk back. So I did that. I walked 10 steps out. I walked 10 steps back. And the person said, these shoes are totally wrong for you. Your glutes are not firing at all. And this whole laundry list of things that sounded really intelligent, professional, and none of it was right. None of it was remotely right. And this person asked me no questions to start. Are you a runner? Have you done any race? Nothing. Nothing. It's kind of important. Look at the bottom of my shoe, see the wear pattern. That is something they should do when they, you know, sell you new pairs of shoes. If they're looking at your overall, you know, your foot and your function and what you're trying to do, they should ask a lot of questions. Trainers should ask a lot of questions before you do your first session. So my point is, you got to figure out if this person, especially if you're going to pay, is qualified. And I send my clients and used to send my clients to a university and to get gait analysis and things like that from someone who is trained to do it. So don't waste your money and don't be put in the wrong shoes because someone sounds like they know what they're talking about, but they don't. Enough of that. Creatine, question on creatine, because I talked about it in other shows, person had specific questions about my personal use of it, and that's fine. They said, why do I take it in the morning? Because that's easiest for me, because I'm not going to forget. There's no specific physiological reason I do, and that's just when I take it. And sometimes I take it throughout the day. They used to have a loading phase. Studies showed you really didn't have to do that. But for me, it's just easy for me to take my vitamins and my creatine and eat my healthy breakfast and do it all at the front. And it makes me feel good, actually. That's a huge part of all of this, by the way. Mentally, you know, even the placebo effect for many of this stuff is super important, especially when you're starting your day that way. You exercise, feel good, huge breakfast, healthy, feel good about your choices, take some supplements, whatever they are. You said, what are the benefits? And the benefits for me help to increase strength a little bit, right? The creatine system in your body, and that's the physiological thing. So you're going to increase your strength a little bit, and you're going to put on muscle, a little bit more muscle, a little bit easier as a result of different physiological factors as well. So for me, the short answer again is I'm trying to build a little bit more muscle or help with the building of muscle and preserve it as well. You know, turn 51, I'm trying to keep what I have and try to add to it if I can. And creatine has been studied to death and can help with that. Not, you know, a magic powder, but pretty darn effective and worth it for me. And then I must have said that I take it with my orange juice. And they said, why orange juice? And that's just what I like to put it in. And I have about 4 ounces of orange juice and creatine. And I know you have, there's many out there that are the anti-juice people, which is why I did a whole podcast on why you should drink orange juice. But for me, it's about 4 ounces, 5 ounces of orange juice, fresh squeezed with creatine. It mixes up kind of well. And that's why. But that's me. You can do it with so many other things. As I always say, it's just about doing it. I don't really care what time of day, what you put it in. It's just a matter of making sure you do it. Great questions. All right. Quick break when we come back. Final question. And then I'm going to give you what I love that someone reached out and said how the podcast had helped her. All right. So final break. We'll be right back. Question about cricket protein. Cricket. We'll be right back.
Mother's Day is right around the corner, and in true She Pivots fashion, we're highlighting moms who've dedicated their lives and their pivots to supporting mothers. The iconic Christy Turlington will join us to talk about launching Every Mother Counts after pivoting from her 90s supermodel days. And later, the co-CEOs of Baby to Baby will share how they're addressing the needs for millions of babies and moms. So tune in and subscribe to She Pivots. New episodes out every Wednesday. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are back talking about cricket protein. So, yes, I remember watching Shark Tank. It was a while back, and person came on, and they were all about cricket protein. And I think they were the first person to ever do it, which was kind of surprising. It sounded kind of gross to me, but I guess if you mash it up, I mean, what is anything else, right? So I did my research, and each tablespoon of cricket powder is about 10 grams in weight and has about 7 grams of protein and 42 calories. To put it in perspective, and it kind of depends on what type of protein powder, but a level tablespoon of protein powder, somewhere around 15 grams of protein as well. So that's oftentimes what you find when you try to go to a quote unquote more natural form of protein is sometimes it's a little bit less. Oftentimes it's a little bit less, but doesn't matter. So the final quick answer to this, you come up to me, you know, we're eating dinner together and you say, hey, friend of mine is taking cricket protein. What do you think? You know, that especially someone would often follow that up with, you know, I'm trying to go as natural as possible and I don't want whey protein. I don't want any processed. I just want crickets. As far as I can tell, I've not tried it, but it looks like, you know, it's like any other question about protein I answer. What matters is that you get it in. So that's the second level show I did. You know, should I take whey protein or soy protein or pea protein or cricket protein? Just focus on the protein. Just focus on getting in the amount of protein you should every day. And I don't know many people that can stick to one type. And if you're mixing up your foods, you can't. So you should, in my opinion, in my experience and research shows, if you're getting it from food, different food sources, and you can supplement with this type of stuff, and then just supplement with what you like and what you can afford and what is on sale that week and what is healthy. But they're all, by and large, relatively the same. Bodybuilders probably aren't going to take cricket protein, but maybe vegan bodybuilders will. So my point is, it looks fine to me. If you're into that kind of thing, just know how much protein is in the serving and get in the amount of protein you need. I love it. Cricket protein. All right. And finally, let me just read you a nice little, and this came via Twitter, and I'm going to read it verbatim because it's kind of nice. And this is what makes my job so great, personally, is hearing from you and the successes you get. I'm a 30-year-old woman from Michigan, and until today, I struggled to make a two-mile run. And then in parentheses, she said 1.5 miles, and I was toast. Recently, I took your advice on a Fitness Disrupted episode to run some hills. Voila! Today, I ran 2.5 miles steady state with ease. Had to share the gains. This is why I do my job. I want that. That is my payback. That is everything to me, is to hear the results. And if you follow the advice consistently, I promise you, you will not only achieve your goals, you will exceed your goals. And this person, if they want to, will run farther and enjoy it more and do so injury-free if they are consistent with all of the things that I talk about. Not a couple, not if you want to truly be injury-free and do it the rest of your life. But when you take common sense and research and anecdotal and wrap it all up and find what works for you, you have those moments. So thank you for the questions. Thank you for the success stories. I love them all. If you want to reach out to me, Tom H. Fit, Twitter and Instagram, fitnessdisrupted.com. Please subscribe to the show. Please rate the show. I greatly appreciate both. And again, my goal is for you to have your best life, for you to have moments like that woman did, and have many moments like that. I don't care where you are, fitness-wise, health-wise, you can be so much better. And it's not impossible to feel good and to do so much more than you think you can. All right, remember, there are three things we can control: how much we move, what we put into our mouths, and our attitudes. That is amazing. And when you do those three things, amazing things happen. Thank you for listening. I am Tom Holland. This is Fitness Disrupted. Believe in yourself. Fitness Disrupted is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.